Good morning. We are continuing our study of the Infinite Way. We're on chapter called Metaphysical Healing, Part 2. Be still. Be receptive. Listen within your being. And it begins with, nothing can come to you. Nothing can be added. You are already that place in consciousness through which infinity is pouring. That which we term your humanhood must be still, so as to be a clear transparency through which your infinite individual self may appear, may express or reveal itself. When we view Niagara Falls from the front, we might assume that it could run dry, with so much water continually pouring over the falls. Looking behind the immediate scene, we behold Lake Erie and realize that actually there is no Niagara. This is but a name given to Lake Erie at a point where Erie pours over the falls. The infinity of Niagara Falls is assured by virtue of the fact that actually the source of Niagara, that which constitutes Niagara, is really Lake Erie. And so it is with us, with you. We are that place where God becomes visible. We are the Word made flesh. Our source and that which constitutes us is God. Infinite divine being. We are God being, God appearing, God manifesting. That is the true glory of our being. Now this is only seen through spiritual discernment. And then he goes into Marconi. When he was young, he told friends he would be the one to give wireless to the world, and not the many older seekers who had been experimenting for years. After he fulfilled his promise, he was asked why he had been so certain that he would succeed. His answer was that the other scientists were seeking first to discover a means for overcoming the resistance in the air to the messages that would be sent through the air, whereas he had already discovered there was no resistance. The world is fighting a power of evil, fighting resistance. We have discovered there is no such power. While the medical field seeks to overcome or cure disease, and theology struggles to overcome sin, we have learned there is no reality to disease or sin, and our so-called healings are brought about through this understanding. So when you learn there is no resistance, like Marconi, you will be able to heal. We know that there are these human appearances called sin and disease, but we know that because of the infinite spiritual nature of our being, they are not realities of being. They are not evil power. They have no principle to support them. Therefore, they exist only as unrealities, accepted as realities. Illusion accepted as condition. The misinterpretation of what actually is. So there is no resistance, there is no evil power, there is no sin, there is no disease. Yes, there is the appearance of sin and disease, but I'm happy to say that the appearance is not reality, and God is not behind it. We bind ourselves by believing there is power outside of us, power for good or for evil, when in fact all power is given to you. And this power is always good because of the infinite source whence it flows. The recognition of this great fact brings a peace and a joy untold, yet felt by all who come within range of your thought. It makes you beloved of men. It brings you recognition and reward. It establishes you in the thoughts of men and becomes the foundation of an eternal goodwill. Whenever you are faced with a problem, regardless of its nature, seek the solution within your own consciousness. Instead of running around here and there, instead of seeking an answer from this or that person, instead of looking for the solution outside of yourself, turn within, in the quiet and calm of your own mind. Let the answer to your problem unfold itself. If the first or second or third time you turn in peace to the kingdom within, you fail to perceive the completed picture, try again. You will not be too late. Nor will the solution appear too late. As you learn to depend on this means for the working out of your problems and experiences, you will become more and more adept in quickly discerning your mind's revelation of harmony, or your consciousness's revelation of harmony. Too long have we sought our health, peace, and prosperity outside ourselves. Now, let us go within and learn that there is never a failure nor a disappointment in the whole realm of our consciousness. Nor will we ever find delays or betrayals when we find the calm of our own soul and the presence of an infinite principle governing, guarding, guiding, and protecting every step of our journey through life. Do not be surprised now when the outstanding truth unfolds to you that your consciousness is the all-power and the only power acting upon your affairs, controlling and maintaining your health, revealing to you the intelligence and direction necessary for your success in any and every walk of life. Does this astonish you? No wonder. Heretofore you have believed that somewhere there existed a deific power, a supreme presence, which if you could reach, might aid you, or even heal your body of its ills. Now it becomes clear to you that the universal consciousness is the mind of the individual man, and it is the all-power and ever-presence which can never leave you nor forsake you, and it is closer than breathing. So far he is saying that infinite divine consciousness is all power, all presence, and it is to it that you must turn if you want the answer. You need not pray to it, petition it, or in any way seek its favor. You need but this recognition leading to the complete realization of this truth. From now on, you will relax and feel the constant assurance of the presence and power of this illumined consciousness. You can now say, I will not fear what man will do unto me. No more will you fear conditions or circumstances seemingly outside of you or beyond your control. Now you know that all that can transpire in your experience is occurring within your consciousness, and therefore subject to its government and control. Nor will you ever forget the depth of feeling accompanying this revelation within you, nor the sense of confidence and courage that immediately follows it. Life is no longer a problem-filled series of events, but a joyous succession of unfolding delights. I put a little star there. I just think that's so pretty. Life is no longer a problem-filled series of events, but a joyous succession of unfolding delights. Failure is recognized as a result of a universal belief in a power outside of ourselves. Success is the natural consequence of our realization of infinite power within. Now, I had a little bit of problem with this idea of infinite power within, because I didn't know what power is, spiritual power. Oh yes, I know what it is to overthrow another government. I know what it is to blow up a building. I know what it is to wrestle somebody to the ground till they pound three times. I know what it is to direct thoughts to a person, sort of a black magic where you direct negative thoughts at a person. All of that I understand, but that's power physically and mentally. What, I wondered, is spiritual power? What is spiritual power? Because infinite power is within, what is that power? My experience to date is, when this spiritual presence moves, it dissolves illusion. But does it overpower it? No. It reveals it just isn't there. It reveals it just isn't power. When I experience it, it's like the coming of dawn. Very gentle, very quiet, very calm. And yet, in that calm is creation, the creation of the entire spiritual kingdom. So spiritual power must be God expressing. But my experience is God does not come with thunder and lightning. God comes in a mist. God comes in a spiritual presence. God comes in peace, in stillness, in calmness. So spiritual power must be peace, stillness, calmness, in which spirit is being. Release from fear, worry, and doubt leaves us free to function normally, healthfully, and confidently. And the body acts immediately from the stimulus coming to it from within. New vitality, strength, and bodily peace follow as naturally as rest follows sleep. Little do we know of the depth of the riches within until we come to know the realm of our own consciousness, the kingdom of our mind. When we become still and go into the temple of our being for the answer to some important question or the solution of a vital problem, it is well that we do not formulate some idea of our own or outline a plan or let our wishes in the matter father our thoughts. Rather, should we still the thinking mind as far as possible and adopt a listening attitude? Yes, and that reminds me, God is not in the whirlwind, but in the still, small voice. And so, power, spiritual power, is not in a whirlwind. It's not in force. It's not in destruction. Spiritual power is in the still, small voice. It's in the peace. It's in the calm. It's in the dark, deep recesses of your soul. And you can feel that spiritual power in proportion as you become still and receptive and listening. It moves without hands. Rather, should we still the thinking mind? It is not the personal sense of mind, or our conscious mind, which is to supply the answer. Nor is it the educated mind or the mind formed out of our environment and experience, but the universal mind, consciousness, the reality of us, the creative consciousness, and this is best heard when the senses and reasoning mind are silent. This inner mind or consciousness not only shows us the solution to any problem and the right direction to take in any situation, but being the universal mind, it is the consciousness of every individual and brings every person and circumstance together for the good of the whole. Now, I've seen this happen, and so have you. You are in a series of events which you say to yourself, how could this have happened? It had to have started years ago for the right person to show up at the right time. And so you get a sense of the reach of this consciousness. Obviously, we cannot look to this universal consciousness to work with us for anyone's destruction or loss. What is accomplished in and through the kingdom of our consciousness is always constructive individually and collectively. It can therefore never be the means of harm, loss, or injury to another. Nor do we direct our thought at another or project it outside ourselves in any direction. That which our consciousness is unfolding to us is at the time operating as the consciousness of all concerned. We need never concern ourselves with reaching some other mind or influencing some other person. Remember, the activity of consciousness unfolding as us is the influence onto all who can possibly be affected or concerned in the problem or situation. There are no unsolved problems in consciousness, and the same consciousness, which is our own consciousness, is the only power necessary to establishing and maintaining the harmony of all that concerns us. It is our turning within that brings forth the answer already established. Our listening attitude makes us receptive to the presence and the power within us. Our periods of silent contemplation reveal the infinite force and constructive energy and intelligent direction always abiding in us. Thus, we discover in our mental realm the Aladdin's lamp. Instead of rubbing and wishing, we turn in silence and listen. And all that is necessary for the harmony and success of life flows forth abundantly. We learn to live joyously, healthfully, and successfully, not by reason of any person or circumstance outside ourselves, but because of the influence and grace within our own being. You have infinite grace within your own being. You have infinite power within your own being. You have infinite love within your own being. You have infinite presence or omnipresence within your own being. So no longer is it necessary to try to dominate our business associates or members of our family. The law within us, so you have infinite law within your own being. It maintains our rights and privileges. Every right desire of our heart is fulfilled now, and without struggle or strife, without fear or doubt. What does that mean, every right desire of our heart? Does that mean you can desire a new home and God will fulfill that desire? Does it mean that you can desire a new companion and God will fulfill that desire? Does it mean that you can desire a 30-year-old body, 29-year-old body, and God will fulfill that desire? No, it doesn't. But it does mean that if you listen and become a transparency, God will fulfill itself and appear as your perfect home, your perfect life, your perfect companion. It means that this presence will be your companion forever. It means that this law will make everything run perfectly. Synchronicity. It means that this love will abide with you forever. So every right desire is fulfilled, and without struggle or strife, without fear or doubt. The more we learn to relax and quickly contemplate our real desires, the more quickly and more easily are they achieved. It is not required of us that we suffer our way through life or strive endlessly for some desired good. But we have failed to perceive the presence of an inner law capable of establishing and maintaining our outer welfare. It seems strange at first to realize that inner laws govern outer events, and it may at first appear difficult to achieve the state of consciousness wherein these laws of our inner being come into tangible expression. We will achieve it, however, in proportion to our ability to relax mentally, to gain an inner calm and peace, and therein quietly contemplate the revelations which come to us from within. Quietness and confidence soon bring us face to face with reality, the real laws governing us. You know, we hear that over and over, and quietness and confidence shall be my strength. Be still and know that I am God. Peace, be still. It is I. Be not afraid. God is in the still small voice. And we may wonder why. Why is it necessary to be still? Why is it necessary to be calm, to be at peace? You see, when you're thinking, and if the thinking is based on fear or worry or an attempt to influence God, then that little I is in the way. Not that it blocks God, it can't, but that it blocks your view of God. You're focused on the little I. And you can't see the infinite God. So it is necessary to be still, to calm yourself, be at peace. It is necessary to listen, to be receptive, to wait upon the Lord. Speak, Father, thy servant heareth. Be still and know. I am here. I have come that you might have life, and life more abundantly. Be at peace. I am come. Thou art ever with me. All that I have is thine. Infinite power, spiritual power, silent power, infinite grace, a love that envelops you and all that concerns you. Infinite wisdom, so that you may know how to dwell in me consciously. Infinite consciousness is your real being. And you can say, I myself am infinite divine consciousness. And in the quiet of your own being, silent spiritual power flows through you. Lest the question should arise in your thought as to how a law operating in your consciousness and without conscious effort on your part can affect individuals and circumstances outside yourself, let me ask you to watch the result of your recognition of the inner laws and learn this answer through observation. we are yet to become aware of the fact that we embrace our world within ourselves. All that exists as persons, places, and things lives only within our own consciousness. We could never become aware of anything outside the realm of our own mind. And all that is hidden within our mental kingdom is joyously and harmoniously directed and sustained by the laws within. We do not direct or enforce these laws. They eternally operate within us and govern the world without. The peace within becomes the harmony without. Now that's an important sentence. I put a star next to it and underlined it. The peace within becomes the harmony without. Now that should point out to you that anytime you're faced with a problem, you can turn within. And the peace attained within becomes the harmony without. As our thought takes on the nature of the inner freedom, it loses its sense of fear, doubt, or discouragement. As the realization of our dominion dawns in thought, more assurance, confidence, and certainty become evident. Now, what dominion is this? What does this dominion mean? Does it mean dominion over my family members? Does it mean dominion over my employees or employers? Does it mean dominion over my neighbors? Does it mean dominion over my disease? Does it mean dominion over my sin? No. All of this takes place within. And so it means dominion over the appearance within. It means dominion over the whirlwind, which leads to peace, which becomes evident as harmony. We become a new being, and the world reflects back to us our own higher attitude toward it. Yes, because what you realize within manifests without. If the inner realization is really a realization and not just a thought, you can have thoughts of harmony. You can slow your breathing. You can think of a scripture, but you cannot make it manifest. Only when you reach deeper, really feel that inner peace, really commune with that inner presence, really hear the still small voice, then and then only will the magic happen? Gradually, an understanding of our fellow man and his problems unfolds to us from within, and more love flows out from us, more tolerance, more cooperativeness, more helpfulness, and more compassion. And we find the world responds to our newer concept of it, and then all the universe rushes to us to pour its riches and treasures in our lap. What are the riches and treasures of the universe? Is it that right companion? Is it a new Lamborghini? Is it a beautiful house, a beautiful home with a little creek beside it? Is that the universe's riches? No. This is the universe within. That universe pours forth its riches into your lap means you have found omnipotence, all power. Remember, that's spiritual power, silent power. You have found and feel omnipresence, a presence that never leaves you, a presence that, well, is so sweet, so wonderful, you can't even talk about it. You have found omniscience, that all-knowing consciousness within, so that when some decision must be made, you can turn within. I'm not going to make this decision. Father, you decide. What is your choice? And so the riches of the inner universe are omnipotence, omniscience, omnipresence. All the universe rushes to pour its riches and treasures in our lap. Many fine treaties and covenants have been signed by nations and men, and nearly all have failed because no document is any better than the character of those who administer it. When we become imbued with the fire of our own inner being, we no longer need contracts and agreements in writing, because it becomes first nature with us to be just, to be honest, intelligent, and to be kind. And these qualities are met in all those who become part of our experience, in the home, office, shop, and in all walks of life. The good revealed in our consciousness returns to us, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And this is true, and you discover through conscious realization that what is revealed within appears without. When you know love within, and it expresses through you, the entire universe will give you love back In this new consciousness, we are less angered by the acts of other people, less impatient with their shortcomings, less disturbed by their failings. And likewise, instead of being hampered and restricted by external conditions, we either do not meet with them or else brush right by them with but little concern. We realize that something within us is ruling our universe. An inner presence is maintaining outer harmony. The peace and quiet of our own soul is the law of harmony and success to our world of daily experience. I think it would be nice to be in a bookstore and discover a book with the title The Silent Power of Soul. You understand what that means, but wouldn't it be nice to have it in writing somewhere? Now, so far we know that within our consciousness is omnipresence, omniscience, and omnipotence. But it must be communed with, realized, felt, and then it governs, becomes a law onto our universe. Did you ever have one of those perfect days, a day in which you're in the right place at the right time without any effort? A day in which you say the right things? A day in which you make the right moves? And it's just synchronicity. You're just rolling along and there's no effort. This is the life that comes to you when you live by your inner consciousness. All that has gone before this is as nothing unless you have seen that over and above everything, knowing the truth, you must be overshadowed by the Christ. When the Christ dawns in individual consciousness, the sense of personal self diminishes. This Christ becomes our real being. We have no desires, no will, no power of our own. The Christ overshadows our personal selfhood. Now, what does that mean? It's something to contemplate, isn't it? What does that mean, the Christ overshadows my personal sense of self? What does that mean? Does it mean that you are to prostrate yourself before Jesus? No. For that is not Christ. If you've followed this chapter so far, if you've been able to relate and identify and realize that inner omnipresence, that is the Christ. And your personal sense of self must surrender. Christ, you take over. Not the words, but the attitude. We still perceive in the background this finite sense, and at times it tries to assert itself and dominate the scene. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do, says Paul. But let it be clear to you that the personal self cannot heal, cannot teach or govern harmoniously. It must be held in abeyance that the Christ may have full dominion within our consciousness. Let's look that up, okay? Dictionary says abeyance is to look with open mouth, expectation. Now, in our case, the little I must be in abeyance. It must be still, expecting, receptive. So that the Christ may have full dominion within our consciousness. The work that is done with the letter of truth, with declarations and so-called treatments, is insignificant compared with what is accomplished when we have surrendered our will and action to the Christ. It's all about abeyance, surrender. Christ comes to our consciousness most clearly in those moments when we come face to face with problems for which we have no answer and no power to surmount, and we realize that I can of mine own self do nothing. Yes, and what happens in that situation is, oh my God, what am I going to do? And you come to a stock stillness. You stand still. I don't know what to do. Christ, Father. And in those moments, the thinking comes to a standstill. The listening becomes as if your life depends on it. The receptivity becomes what you are. The gentle Christ overshadows us, penetrates our consciousness, and brings the peace, be still, to the troubled mind. In this Christ we find rest, we find peace, we find comfort, we find healing. The unlabored power of spiritual sense possesses us, and discords and inharmonies fade away as darkness disappears with the coming of light. It's a gentle, silent power. Indeed, it is comparable only to the breaking of dawn and the gradual influx of divine light colors the scenes in our mind and dispels one by one the illusions of sense, the darker places in human thought. Dawn comes upon you and you see, slowly, quietly, the entire world begins to appear before you. And you suddenly realize, why, that's a rock over there. I thought it was a person. That's a tree. I thought it was a mountain. Slowly, slowly, it lights up the entire universe. And the Christ within you, as you find your inner peace, it lights up your consciousness. The stress of daily living would deprive us of this great spirit, unless we are careful to retire often into the sanctuary of our inner being, and there let the Christ be our honored guest. Never let vain conceit or a belief in personal power keep you from this sacred experience. Be willing, be receptive, be still. And I made a note here to meditate for 2 to 3 minutes 12 times a day. Well, that was quite a chapter, wasn't it? And I'm thinking that we should be still for the last minute or two of this talk. Christ overshadows you when you stand quite still. In quietness, the silent power of your soul is felt or heard or communed with. Father, I, consciousness, Christ, if I be lifted up, if I be communed with, will draw all men, all man, all manifestation unto me. Fear not, little flock. It is your Father's good pleasure to give you this calm peace within. And I shall go before you to prepare a place for you, that where I am, thou may be also. Please take the time to be still several times a day and during the night if you awaken. Thank you for this quiet, calm peace within. Thank you for this talk today, so that we may have no talk. Just listen. I am here. Thank you.